Пам'ятаю ті дні, коли ми запізнались. Ті дні, коли я знав, що ти будеш моя. Пам'ятаю, як ми жартували, пам'ятаю, як ми танцювали. Ці дні були гарячі, приємні, чарівні. Пам'ятаю, як ми жартували, пам'ятаю, як ми танцювали. Ці дні були гарячі, приємні, чарівні. Доля наша тепер одна і та сама. Наші мрії тепер ведуть в незнаний шлях. Шляхом цим ми підемо, та й присягу таку ми складемо. Разом в любові не спинить нас ніщо. Шляхом цим ми підемо, та й присягу таку ми складемо. Разом в любові не спинить нас ніщо. Наша перша пісня в любові, хоч не була ця, почалась тому давно, із вищого неба нам промінь зійшов. Бог нас єднав і дав нам любов. Пам'ятаю, як ми жартували, пам'ятаю, як ми танцювали. Ці дні були гарячі, приємні, чарівні.
And from New York City, that was the Hrim Band from their brand new CD, self-titled, and a song called Persha Pisnya, First Song. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос». Говорить Павіна Макуарі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there, and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie, your host, and I am delighted to have you with me, whether you're tuning in on AM, FM, shortwave, online or in-flight, or to the podcast. A very warm welcome to you, Vitayu. And we have a great program lined up for you on the Cultural Capsule. Vasil Pavlovsky will be by to talk about Senator Paul Yuzik and the legacy that he left. Natalka Buchok will be with us for Ukrainian Food Flair, and she has some very yummy cheese spreads from the cookbook of Olha Sinatovich, which was penned back in 1929. And also we have an interview with a young fellow by the name of Nathan Fitch, and he is a dance instructor who's with the Alberta Dance, Ukrainian Dance Association for the summer, but he will be in Kamloops and working in the surrounding area, and he'll be telling us all about the very exciting things that are coming up on the Ukrainian dance scene in BC. And on Ukraine News Outlook, Keith Perron has a story about human trafficking in Ukraine. And we'll also have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and plenty of great Ukrainian music. And coming up next, from another brand new CD, recently arrived at Nash Holos, came to us courtesy Yevshan, Ukrainian store in Montreal. And the CD's name is called Reshto. The artist is Oksana Mucha. Here she is now with Tycha Voda Kalamutna.
Тече вода каламутна, чогось моя мила смутна. Я не смутна, лен сердита, боязно чи була би. сказала, буде бити, щоб Іванка не любити. Ще й казала, буде бити, щоб Іванка не любити.
Чуєш, казала, казала, буде бити, щоб Іванка, Іванка не любити. Чуєш, казала, казала, буде бити, щоб Іванка, Іванка не любити.
А я Іванка так любую, де не стріну, там цілую. Ох, Іванку, серце моє, нема таких, як ми двоє. Ох, Іванку, серце моє, нема таких, як ми двоє.
Radiocast.ca – це наша адреса в інтернеті. Українська радіопрограма з Ванкувера «Четверта хвиля».
Ukrainian programming – the fourth wave from the Burnaby Mountain.
Ми виходимо на хвилі 91 FM в Ванкувері. Також ловіть наш потік через вебсайт cjsf.ca.
Чи ні, і в очах сія, я на зоря, пісня солов'я, лиш любов сія, і твоя й моя. Розкажи мені, розкажи, любиш ти чи ні? І в очах сія, я навік твоя. Розкажи мені, розкажи, любиш ти чи ні? І в очах сія, я навік твоя.
And that was Zrada from Winnipeg from their first CD, which is self-titled. And that was a song called Skella, with some pretty scary outdoor wildlife sounds for you there. And before Zrada, you heard Teresa Sekirka, the runner-up, Canadian Idol runner-up, from her CD, Ukrainian Roots. And that was Tisha Navkruhe.
And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Natalia Buchok and a taste of Galician cuisine from 1929.
Vitaimo! Welcome to Ukrainian Food Flair on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Today, we continue with cheese spreads. For cheese spreads, you can use any leftover cheese hanging around in your fridge, or in Olha's case, her icebox. Of course, different cheeses will produce different flavor results, so experiment and have fun. Imagine using a blue cheese, a sharp cheddar, or an exotic Swiss in some of the following recipes. Grate a piece of cheese along with one onion. Although Olha doesn't say how large a piece of cheese one should use, I suggest using a piece at least as large as your onion, depending on how oniony you want your spread tasting. In fact, I'd make it twice as large as the onion I was using. Then add 1 spoon of butter, 2 spoons of sour cream, a sprinkling of pepper, and salt to taste. Cream together until well blended. And where Olha might have used good old muscle power, I suggest using a Cuisinart or a blender. You can add chopped chives or green onions for a bit of extra flavor and a lovely speckled look. Olha informs us that this type of spread goes well with whole grain breads, perfect for the health-conscious gastronome of today. And now, a cheese spread flavored with sardines. Again, use any leftover cheese lurking in your fridge, preferably without mold, unless it's the famous Roquefort. Grate a piece of cheese along with 2 onions. Add 2 spoons of butter, salt, and pepper to taste. Then throw in a handful of chopped capers, a can of sardines, and a bit of oil. Cream together the cheese, onions, butter, capers, and sardines. According to Olha, this spread is excellent, especially for connoisseurs who appreciate sharp flavors. And now for a cheese recipe that has taken me on a bit of a culinary adventure. I haven't tried it myself, and I'm not sure I'm courageous enough to do so, but hopefully someone out there in Radioland will give this a go. This is a cheese spread, Slavile Ser, that translates as slimy or sticky cheese. Not the most appetizing of names, but if you think slimy can't be appetizing, think of escargot and raw oysters. Take 1 pound of a creamy type of cheese, such as cottage cheese, and salt it. Leave it out a couple of days so it becomes gelatinous, aka slimy. Add a spoon of butter to a frying pan, the cheese, a spoon of cumin, and fry away. Then take 2 eggs and beat well before adding them to the pan and frying them up with the cheese. This dish can be served either hot or cold. In my struggle to understand what Olha meant by Slavile Ser, I got this response from my friend Olich. He wrote, "In my childhood, prepared Slavile Ser was a delicacy. Cottage cheese left in the open, let's face it, there was not a fridge in sight, would go slimy and start smelling peculiar. Once enough of it became Slavile, it would be fried in a pan. Typically, some caraway seed would be added. Once it cooled off, it was reasonably hard, it was cut into slices, and consumed as a delicacy." For our next episode, we'll be moving on to flavored butters. This is Natalia Buchok with Food Flair on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio asking you, do you have the courage to try Slavile Ser?
Thanks, Natalia. Join us again next week for Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Pidraziak-Molnar here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Через ту лише. Ukrainian News Outlook. In this edition, we examine the people smuggling problem in Odessa and what the European Union and Ukraine are trying to do to combat the problem. I'm Keith Parent. The port in Odessa is known as the people smuggling capital of Ukraine. Every year, thousands of people from across Eastern Europe pass through the port illegally to find passage to Western Europe. A number of gangs in Ukraine are charging thousands of euros to people desperate to leave for better jobs in the rest of Europe. The United Nations has listed Ukraine as one of the main sources of young girls and women to work for the sex trade. People are just one thing being smuggled. There are other items as well, including livestock, weapons, and drugs. Kerry Skyring now brings us the special report from Odessa.
Just meters from Odessa's famous Potemkin steps, a ship prepares to depart. This one's carrying people, but this busy port handles just about everything that humans find useful or desirable. Odessa has a long history of smuggling. In past centuries, enormous catacombs under the city provided a hiding place for slave traders. Today's smugglers still traffic in human beings, but you can add to that drugs, cigarettes, weapons, and even, you guessed it, chickens. Udo Buchholder heads the EU's border mission to Ukraine and Moldova and says along with the big ticket items, they've got quite a shopping list.
So this is also a small border smuggling vegetables, meat, fruits and small amount of weapons, pneumatic guns and hunting guns.
Chicken meat smuggling through Odessa to the Transnistria region of Moldova was big business a couple of years ago. Until it was realized so much chicken was going there, each resident would need to eat 10 times the European average. It was a scam costing the Ukrainian government millions of euros a year. Loss of revenue like this led to the creation of an EU border assistance mission to Ukraine and Moldova. Professor Melanie Sully is the editor of Anchors of Democracy, the Black Sea. At a conference on good governance in Odessa, she talks about the importance of the two countries inviting the EU to help out.
Really, you need the cooperation of the Ukrainian side and the Moldovan side in all this. It's not much point the EU going down there and sorting out their own program to combat smuggling, etc. They have to have cooperation. And so a lot of training is done with the Ukrainians and just building up this concept of good governance in which you understand that it's in the interest of all to have a different kind of a system and arrangement. And it's soft diplomacy, in effect.
Ukraine has difficult borders. To the south, there's the Black Sea, and to the west, land borders with EU members Poland, Hungary and Slovakia. There's Belarus in the north, Russia in the east and Romania in the southwest. But it's the 1,200-kilometre-long border with Moldova that causes most headaches because it includes the secessionist region of Transnistria, which neither government controls. Volodymyr Dubovic, expert in international relations at Odessa National University, says 20 years after Ukraine's independence, it's time for better borders.
It is important. I think we should finally do something to get real borders, because what we have now is more or less real borders with our Western neighbors, but nothing like real meaningful border with our Eastern partners, specifically Russia.
According to the United Nations, Ukraine is one of the main sources of people, mainly women and girls, who are trafficked for sexual exploitation. Tighter border controls and education programs are slowly changing that. But, says Ricarda Riga, Ukraine country manager for the United Nations Development Programme, organized crime is finding other victims.
The profile is changing from one of sex trade to labor migration. For example, a doctor in Ukraine who was not earning enough, who then said, okay, in the summer months when things are quieter, he'd like to supplement his salary, and he went to one of the EU member states and then could not come back anymore after he had worked for several months in agriculture. So we are seeing a pattern from the traditional, maybe uneducated or women, to even educated people who need to supplement their income. And they then fall victims to trafficking rings.
The European Union also carries responsibility for some of Ukraine's border problems. It's demand from European citizens for cheap products and even sexual services that generates much of the profits for organized crime.
There are organizers in the Baltic states. We have knowledge on organized drug smuggling coming from South America.
Sometimes it's two-way traffic across the Ukrainian frontier, says Volodymyr Dubovic, once to get into the country and once to get out.
So that's how Ukraine get this position of a channel, a major channel of all this illegal trafficking through Ukraine. Ukraine is not trained, is not equipped, is not doesn't have an experience to deal with these people, so that's a real problem.
An Orthodox church in Odessa with a shiny new golden dome. Outside, a beggar holds a photo of a small child. At a market across the road, an elderly woman tries to sell a chicken and a few stale vegetables. A short walk away, luxury villas overlook the Black Sea. Expensive black cars with darkened glass are parked outside. The impression is of great wealth from dubious sources, alongside great poverty. Ukraine's border problems are obviously linked to both. Kerry Skyring, Odessa.
And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Ukrainian News Outlook. I'm Keith Parron.
I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. On last week's program, you heard about a publication called Oko, which came out of Montreal for just over 5 years, with its first edition appearing at the beginning of January in 1979. Today's persona is just as responsible for the appearance of that publication as were its initial collaborators, as the policies he shaped made its publication possible. He was born to immigrant parents on June 24, 1913, in Pinto, Saskatchewan. While his father, Martin, had arrived in Canada in 1904 to work in the coal mining industry, from Galicia, he had an opportunity to work at a flour mill in Saskatchewan, and took it. After excelling both academically and in sports, in high school, he enrolled in something which was called the Saskatchewan Normal School, which in fact was Teachers' Training College. Even after becoming a qualified teacher, he faced outright discrimination from the English schools and eventually found a position teaching in a Ukrainian community near Hafford, Saskatchewan. Senator Paul Yuzik was to once have said the following about discrimination he had faced. Quote, "They really did things like that. We were being called bohunks and foreigners. The result was to my strengthening my Ukrainianism. I said to myself that if they called me a foreigner when I had been born in Canada, it meant Canada needed some changing," end of quote. He went on to study science at the University of Saskatchewan, though in 1942 he volunteered to serve in the Canadian Army, and after completing non-commissioned officers training in reconnaissance, he trained others until 1944 in the same field. After the war, he completed his studies and continued along an academic path to finally complete his master's and PhD at the University of Minnesota in 1958. From 1958 through 1963, he was Associate Professor of Slavic Studies at the University of Manitoba, and then later at the University of Ottawa from 1966 to 1978. He was Professor of Russian and Soviet History. Though it was his appointment to the Senate of Canada by Prime Minister John Diefenbaker in 1963, and his stance on the realities of Canada as a multicultural society, which he was known for, Senator Usyk continued to play a pivotal role in changing attitudes in Canada. In 1971, the government of Pierre Elliott Trudeau announced that it would adopt a policy of multiculturalism. Senator Usyk passed away on July 9, 1986, but his legacy lives on. In 2009, the government of Canada created the Paul Usyk Award for Multiculturalism to recognize individuals and groups in communities across Canada who have made exceptional contributions to multiculturalism and diversity. I am Vasily Pavlovsky, and this week's Cultural Capsule featured the late Senator Paul Usyk, who did indeed help change Canada.
In Vegreville, Alberta, there's a giant pessinca. It's the biggest Easter egg that anybody ever saw. The question folks up there won't answer even if you beg. Where the heck's the chicken that laid that giant egg? Giants of the prairies, rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies, designed to catch your eye. They may not be the sort of thing you fancy or you dig, but one look at it and you'll admit that thing is really big. In Camarno, Manitoba, they built a big komar. It's a really big mosquito, you could see it from afar. Now you may find it strange, a little weird, a bit absurd, till you realize
a mosquito is Manitoba's provincial bird.
In Saskatchewan's Kenora, there's a lady mighty fine. Holding bread and salt, a Ukrainian welcome sign. They thought that giant lady would bring their town some class, till some tourist parked this Winnebago underneath her skirt. Giants of the prairies, rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies, you just can't pass them by. You could hear the lonely trucker calling from his rig, saying,
"Take a look, that thing is really big."
They pay homage to our food. They don't call it a varanik, but some people think they should. Now I really must admit, I felt a little like a dork when they took my picture under a big pierogi on a fork. Pierogi. Town of Vilna, they've got some giant shrooms. Even if you dried them, they'd fill many, many rooms. Now, if you want my opinion, I think you'd need a tanker to truck in enough cream to make a sauce for those pipankin. Giants of the prairies, rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies, now as the years roll by, in the future, archaeologist working on a dig might shout,
"Eureka, look at what we found! This thing is really big!"
In the town of Andrew, they've got a giant duck. They had to rent a crane to lift that mallard off the truck. Now it hasn't generated the reaction they were hoping. The tourists mostly stop and yell,
"Nice bad gotcha, quap,
giants of the prairies, rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies, oh me, oh me, oh my. Now I know folks who just don't care a feather or a fig, but even they have got to say,
that thing is really big.
Now in Mundare, Alberta, there's a new totemic sign. For Ukrainian sausage lovers,
It's like a sacred shrine. We bow down low before it. We gaze at it in awe. It's a 14-meter fiberglass and steel
Kubasa!
Giants of the prairies, rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies, you've gotta wonder why. You think by now the audience we're playing for at this gig would all catch on and sing along.
That thing is really big.
You think by now the audience we're playing to at this gig would all catch on and sing along.
That thing is really big.
Giants of the prairies, rising in the sky. Giants of the prairies, let's raise a glass of rye and congratulate the audience we're playing for at this gig, cause they all caught on and sang along.
That thing is really big.
Giants of the prairies, shining in the sun. Giants of the prairies, I've gotta build me one. A mosquito or a mushroom, a pierogi or an egg. It's a way to leave my mark, just like a dog lifting his leg.
Giants of the prairies.
Ukrainian dance instructor Nathan Fitch recently rounded up a few Ukrainian dancers from the Okanagan region of BC and took them to the Vigarville Pissinka Festival, where they blew everyone's socks off. They won a bunch of medals and returned home pumped on Ukrainian dance and anxious to start the new season in the fall. Nathan is currently working with the Ukrainian Dance Association of Alberta over the summer, and he'll return in the fall to Kamloops to attend university and teach Ukrainian dance. He joins me now by Skype to tell us about the excitement in Vegreville for him and the dancers, and give us a sneak peek at what's in store for the Ukrainian dance scene in BC. So thanks so much for joining us, Nathan.
Thanks for having me.
Now, tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourself. You're a dancer, an instructor now?
Yeah, I've danced all my life since 4 years old in the Edmonton dance scene, all primarily Ukrainian dance with ballet in there. Mm-hmm. And and I moved out to, and I started teaching at about 18 years old in rural Alberta. And then when I came out for university, I just had to keep teaching.
And you went to university in Kamloops. That's your chosen
Correct.
Destination. Ah, okay. Well, Alberta's loss is BC's gain. So wait, you came out when? A year ago or 2 years ago?
In September, last September.
Okay. Oh, wow. So you've been very busy then since you've been in BC.
Yeah. I started working right away.
And so how did this, what gave you the idea to enter a bunch of kids that danced together, perhaps hadn't danced together, and take them off to Vegreville to this big competition?
Well, what one thing that Alberta has in Ukrainian dance is we have a lot of buzz, and there's a good community, and people see Ukrainian dance quite a lot. So it continues this feeling. In BC, we don't get out as much, and kids kind of look at it as a recreational thing they do once a week, and don't treat it as seriously as I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking them to Vegreville gives them the opportunity to see and experience all kinds of Ukrainian things, you know, just the Ukrainian spirit, because in Vegreville it's really there. And the dance level is taken much more seriously, and they got to see that, and they got to be involved in that. And it made them feel really good that they were in that community.
Great. So how who were these kids, and how did they do?
Well, there are 7 dancers from Vernon and 1 dancer from Kamloops that comes each week to dance, and they're all girls, and they're from the ages of 13 to 15, and they did excellent. They stayed on par with all the Alberta groups.
Oh.
We got 2 golds and one of the highest marks of the festival.
Oh, congratulations!
And then we did a bunch of other stuff. We attended some workshops and did a cultural showcase where we were the only dance group, and it was a really good opportunity to just show the big mecca of Ukrainian dance in Alberta that we're alive in BC. You know, that we're here, and we've got some awesome stuff to show you.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, you're great ambassadors for BC over there in Vegreville. So, and I know that it was a great celebration at the Pissinka Festival.
Yeah, and it helped. That's my stomping ground. So my connections made it a little easier for the group to get some extra things, and hopefully we'll continue doing that, because it was really good for the girls in it. In a weekend, they progressed in ways that you can't just teach them.
What do you mean?
Well, just seeing all these thousands of other people take Ukrainian dance and Ukrainian culture so seriously. In BC, we don't have thousands of people that do it like they do in Vegaville.
Right.
And it was really cool. Like, they were so pumped after. They were telling me how cool it was to be Ukrainian, and how they just love wearing red boots and all these silly things. But that's what it's all about. It's all about those little bits of passion. Like, I can't explain to you why I care so much about this dance. But it envelops me. And that's what I try to do with my kids, especially when they're in the high school age.
Right.
Because if they move away, I want them to continue to dance.
Yeah, well, we all do, because it's a fabulous form of entertainment. And I think it's catching on in popularity in the mainstream as well.
Thanks to So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff Mortensen did a very good promotion for the Ukrainian community. Tell us a little bit about that. And you met him there, too. Or you know him.
Yeah.
You danced with him, right?
I know him very well. I grew up with him. He danced in the same schools as us. He's a few years younger than me. So as everyone probably knows, he was on the third, a finalist on So You Think You Can Dance. And he was primarily a Ukrainian dancer his whole life. And then he took contemporary when he was a young adult. And this was his thank you. So he came and did workshops. He brought two other girls from the show, and they did three workshops a day for ages 6 to 8, and there's three different age groups. And they did contemporary and ballet and modern and some different forms that we're not totally used to, but it was an excellent, the kids loved it. He was super genuine, and I think this was his way of thanking the community for supporting him. And I think, and that was really cool too. You know, in minutes on that show, he promoted Ukrainian dance to the nation.
Yeah.
And he continued to do it.
Mm-hmm. And then bringing the other forms to the Vegreville Pesenka kind of just marries it all, and I'm sure there will be a lot of spillover both ways.
Hopefully, that's the goal. I'm a very traditional Ukrainian dancer. I can't do any contemporary stuff, so I would have looked ridiculous in those workshops. But it was really good for the kids, and it helped the festival. Vegreville Pesenka Festival kind of took on a lull, and now it's coming back up. It was an awesome festival this year.
And he
was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. So you're just doing work with the Alberta Dance Association in Alberta, but you will be coming back to BC in the fall. And
right.
So what do you have in store?
Well, so I am a full-time student, so I will be busy with that, of course. And I'm working with the Vernon Zirka Ukrainian dancers. I teach there twice a week, as I'm the new artistic director of the school. I'll also be working with the Delina School in Kelowna, doing choreography and working with them. And I should be working with Prince George Yelenka dancers as well. And I do some work with the other Vernon School and the Kamloops Pocatillo School, hopefully.
Oh,
too.
Wow. That's, for a full-time student, that's a lot of extracurricular.
Well, yeah, it's part of it.
Sure. Now, just for the benefit of people listening who are not familiar with the geography in BC, Prince George is not, I mean, Vernon is not too far from Kelowna, but Prince George is a bit of a hike. Will you be working there as well as part of your working group?
Our artistic director from the last 9 years in Vernon has just moved to Prince George. So she is the new instructor there.
So you have a connection. Good.
And that's what we're trying to do. Hopefully this year in Vernon, there's two Ukrainian dance schools in Vernon, which most people don't know.
Mm.
And we're hopefully going to do a Zabava together in the fall this year. We're trying to connect these groups more. We're trying to do some stuff together. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Right.
And so, we're going to try to make these relationships and continue them and make a stronger Ukrainian dance scene in the Okanagan. And then hopefully one day that would be an awesome opportunity. I'd like to teach everywhere.
Good for you. Well, this is really exciting. To me, it's very exciting, and I think probably...
Well, I'm glad you're excited, and I'm very excited, too.
Yes, this is great. We excitement is always a great thing to have, and it's when it's going to make change, and it's going to make things a lot more fun, I think, for the young people in the area. And, you know, out here on the West Coast, we know that there's a thriving community in the Okanagan, but we don't really have mm-hmm. much connection with them. So you know, you'll come on to Nash Holis a little bit more frequently, hopefully, and keep us updated as to what's going on. Let us know when that Zabava is going on and any other interesting stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I absolutely will. Okay. And we'll come out to the West Coast. Well, we have to make that connection, too.
Ah, Chudova, that's a great idea. Okay, so... Super. Well, it's wonderful to make this connection with you, Nathan. Thanks so much for coming on and telling us about all this exciting work that you're doing. Wonderful energy. Thank you for that. And looking forward to great things happening in Ukrainian dance in the Okanagan and BC.
Super. Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. We'll be talking to you again soon.
PCJ Radio would like to make you a winner. PCJ Radio is giving away three Texan 920 World Band receivers to three lucky winners in June, July, and August. In September, we are having a grand giveaway of a brand new Sanjen ATS 909X worth $399 to one lucky winner. To enter, let us know how you heard this program with the date and time. And answer the following very simple question. What does radio mean to you? You can send your entries to ats909x@gmail.com. Again, that's ats909x@gmail.com. If you wish to enter by snail mail and receive a small thank you gift for entering, you can find our postal address at www.pcjmedia.com. Winners will be announced on a monthly basis on Media Network Plus. So, good luck!
The Ukrainian Canadian Congress, Alberta Provincial Council, invites you to the annual Ukrainian Day Festival Sunday, August 7th at Alberta's fabulous Ukrainian Cultural Heritage Village. This year's celebration will commemorate 120 years of Ukrainian settlement in Canada, highlighting the history of the first Ukrainian settlers in Alberta and their legacy to Canada. Gates are open from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. The day will include church services and a Pioneer Centenary program. As well, there will be Kozak games, Ukrainian arts workshops, children's activities, and a concert featuring the renowned Chetamosh Ukrainian dancers of Edmonton. And, of course, traditional Ukrainian food. Don't miss this year's Ukrainian Day celebrations commemorating Canada's Ukrainian pioneers. It's all happening Sunday, August 7th at the Ukrainian Cultural Heritage Village, located 25 minutes east of Edmonton on Highway 16, just past Elk Island National Park. For more information, visit uccab.ca/Ukrainian Day.
Thank you. from Leeds, England, that was The Ukrainians from their most recent CD, Diaspora, and Nimionik, The Prisoner's Waltz. You'll find the very best in Ukrainian cultural programming here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. in Vancouver, AM 1320 on the radio dial, and online at am1320.com. In Nanaimo, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on 101.7 FM or online at chly.ca. Nash Holos airs on shortwave, AM, FM, and internet radio in over 28 countries on the PCJ Radio Network. Podcasts are available at nashholos.com as well as on the Nash Holos page at pcjmedia.com and on iTunes. Нажами вже скінчили нашу програму. Вже час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас цими словами мудрості. Хто раніше встає, той довго живе. And our proverb of the week translates as whoever rises earlier lives longer. Well, that just about wraps things up for another program here on Nash Holos. So to take us home, we have from Winnipeg, the all-girl polka band, The Female Beat, from their brand new CD, Sealed with a Kiss, and the Black Sturgeon Polka. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobaczenia.